Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome once again to the Raw Islam Podcast with Imam Azhar. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Ramadan, and we will say Ramadan Kareem, and we will say Ramadan Mubarak, and all the other Ramadan stuff that you can think of. And we are happy that all of you are here today, and we are happy that all of you are joining us, and we're just excited because it is Ramadan, and there are so many blessings that we can that any one of us can achieve in Ramadan that we shouldn't just turn away from it, and we shouldn't just turn a blind eye to it, and we should embrace every opportunity that we have in Ramadan to become a better version of ourselves. I'll tell one little quick factoid and then I'll stop talking completely to turn it over to the man of the hour. But there was a study that said that after 40 days, doing something habitually for 40 days creates a new habit. This in particular year, Ramadan is 29 days. Sometimes it's 30. This year, I'm hearing it's going to be 29. That's so close to 40. And then if you fast the 10 days afterwards, that is 40. So when we tell you that you're making a better version of yourself, you really are. Don't let these opportunities pass you by. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, please say assalamu alaikum to Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings to all our listeners here in the United States and across the world. Once again, we have the honor and blessing to say Ramadan Kareem and Ramadan Mubarak. May you have a blessed and happy and prosperous month of Ramadan. Yes, Carl, I think that was an amazing introduction that you did today. 40 days is all that it takes for one to change a habit, to either let go of a habit or to adopt a habit. And as you observed, Ramadan is 29 or 30 days. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said whoever fasts the month of Ramadan and then he follows up or she follows up after it with 6 days of Shawwal, which is a month after Ramadan, they get the reward of fasting the entire year. So that would make it like 36 or 35. Factor in a few days here and there, additional, like the 3 days of the middle of the month or a Monday and Thursday. Guess what? We have our 40. So, Carl, we have just passed the halfway point of Ramadan. We are close to 17 days into the month of Ramadan. We have completed more than half of not just the month, but the second section of Ramadan, which is a segment of forgiveness. And I wanted to talk a bit about forgiveness today because it's something that which is different than many other faiths. Islam is not a faith that is fixated or its focus is upon forgiveness. Our religion doesn't revolve around the factor of forgiveness. Rather, it's about what we can do with our life beyond seeking forgiveness and acknowledging our faults and acknowledging our flaws and acknowledging our weaknesses and overpowering them with better practices and uprooting those evils and substituting them in that space or filling in that space with something which is more productive and better. So Carl, you've told us before a couple of times that you had converted to Islam and how your journey was, and prior to that you were Christian. And I think you can weigh in on this, but I believe in the Christian faith, forgiveness is one of the key pillars. Like, you go to gain forgiveness, you go to church on Sundays to gain forgiveness for whatever transpired in the course of the week. And I'm not saying that this is something wrong. Actually, in the hadith and the traditions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, forgiveness is also taught and emphasized even in the Jummah. From one Jummah to another Jummah, from one prayer to another prayer, means of forgiveness. So it's there. But how strong of a matter is it when it comes to Christianity and forgiveness?
No, it really is. It's a strong matter because, I mean, the Catholics themselves in particular, you know, they have confession where you go and you make your confession to the priest, and then you go and you do whatever he tells you, whether it's, you know, Hail Marys or donations or community service or whatever. And if there's any Catholics that listen to this and I'm wrong, feel free to email us at rawislam@vennetwork.org and tell me how wrong I am and tell me why I'm wrong. And I'll be happy to read your comment on air to correct myself. But there is that sense of praying to God, praying to Allah, that you to seek forgiveness. You know, one thing, and I know we won't get into this tonight because I know this is a huge conversation. I think we've touched on it on a few earlier episodes, so go back and just poke around and find those previous episodes. But you know, that original sin concept exists. And so you're always you're always praying for forgiveness, and you're always asking for forgiveness, and, you know, making sure that you're seeking that forgiveness. And even if you wrong a brother, you ask him for forgiveness. So it is a thing. And as far as I know, and anybody, again, feel free to chime in and tell me I'm wrong, but as far as I know, it's a common theme through all the Abrahamic faiths.
And again, beautiful. Thank you so much for giving us, enlightening us with that perspective. In Islam, also, forgiveness is an important factor. It plays a big role, but doesn't play a central role. I apologize. I'm tripping on my tongue today. We're fasting, and you know how
it's Ramadan. You're fasting. It's all good.
It's all good. But it's not the central theme, or it's not the front and center focus of our religion. Yes, forgiveness is important. Seeking forgiveness and imploring for forgiveness is important. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said in a hadith in a tradition that wallahi inni astaghfirullah wa la atubu ilayhi fi al-yawmi akthar min 70 marra. I swear by God, I implore God's forgiveness and I seek forgiveness from him 70 times in a day, which meant excessive amounts. 70 is like a staple number used in the time of the Arabs, which meant multiple times, numerous times, abundantly. So it wasn't like a fixed number of 68, 69, 70, stop. No, it was just a matter of abundance. So if seeking forgiveness is important in Islam, I'm not downplaying it. And to the extent another hadith or tradition teaches us, if we weren't to sin, Allah would have taken us away. And he would have brought forth a people that would have sinned, but then implored Allah and sought forgiveness so that he could forgive them. So one of the qualities, again, this is a great tradition, has much that can be spoken about it if you dissect it from different angles. But the core message I want to use for this discussion today is that Allah has many attributes and qualities known as his names. 99 of them are central. And one of them is Allah is Ghafoor. And Allah is Ghaffar. Allah is the forgiving and the off-forgiving. So Allah has to display his forgiveness, and that happens when we repent and seek forgiveness because we have weaknesses. And that's something I always talk about, because a human being should never forget that we have weaknesses. It's only because of those weaknesses it allows us to continue to work on ourselves. And when we forget that we have weaknesses, then it's easy for us to point out flaws and weaknesses of others, forgetting ourselves. So Allah would then remove us and bring a people that would not commit sin. The whole thing is not here they would commit sin, but their committing of sin would lead them to seeking repentance, earnest repentance, so that God could display his forgiveness upon them and forgive them. So keeping all that in mind, we are in the 10 days of forgiveness. The 10 days of seeking forgiveness. what does that mean? Because Carl, in Islam, I find people, I consult, you know, people consult with me, and, you know, I do a lot of one-on-one with members of different communities, and our one-on-one conversations, some of them are, you know, I've just done so much wrong, God's never going to forgive me, why should I even try? And that's what I want to touch base on today. Will God forgive us? And if he does forgive us, how will it play out in our understanding? How would it play out to alleviate the misconceptions that currently exist in our understanding? Because it's imperative for us to understand forgiveness in a level of how God has presented forgiveness, how Allah has displayed forgiveness, not in an understanding of our intellect. Because sometimes we fear when we come around to realizing the importance of making matters right with our Lord, that there's just so much out there. It's like Hurricane Katrina ripped through our lives, and we don't know where to begin with. So we're like, you know what? It's not going to happen. Why should I even try? But if that's what the people of Louisiana said, New Orleans wouldn't be back up on its feet today. Yes, true. Some parts of the city never recovered, and they're just dead towns. But the majority of it did. And ultimately, one day, they will come around too. But it's just the time. I feel that we today have to understand that in Islam, forgiveness is something that's readily given so long it's readily sought. Allah is ready to forgive, and there's so many excuses out there that Allah wants to forgive us. When I make ablution, Allah's forgiving the sins of my hand, my face, my eyes, my tongue, my feet from walking towards sin. He's forgiving it on the go without me asking him. Whatever I made mistake between the last time I performed ablution and now, he's forgiving it. Why? Because he wants to forgive. Yes, some of the bigger things in life which I've done, I have to turn to my Lord. I have to turn to Allah. I have to actively acknowledge the mistake. I have to acknowledge the sin. I have to acknowledge what it did to me and seek from him forgiveness by stating that I want to really make this, I want to clean this matter up, and I want to hope that I don't do it again. I want to try my best that I won't do it again. So that's called istighfar, really seeking that forgiveness. But Allah is ready to forgive us. As a Muslim, in these 10 days of Ramadan, we're not here just to gain that forgiveness, because that forgiveness is out there throughout the course of the year. But by understanding and acknowledging what weighs us down, in the first 10 days of Ramadan, we acknowledge those actions that weigh us down in our lives. So by seeking forgiveness from them now means we're trying to clean them off. It's something that we don't want to do anymore. So not only are we removing something, we're making sure that it doesn't come back. Does that make sense, Carl?
No, that makes complete sense, because and it goes back to what we've been talking about, and pretty much how I opened the show, which is just simply, you know, don't let the blessings of Ramadan pass you by, and don't let that kind of stuff just go just because. However, I do want to rewind you a little bit, because I want to rewind and remind that not all of our listeners are Muslim.
Correct.
And you just said that when you do ablution, now I know you meant wudu, but maybe people listening don't know what that means. And maybe people listening have seen a Muslim stick their foot in a sink and they've said, what the hell is that person doing? So could you touch on that just very ever so quickly, please?
I love this, Carl. Thank you so much. And that's why I love when you give me the opportunity to get back and correct something. Because, yes, a lot of our listeners aren't Muslims. And so I don't want you to scratch your head or Google ablution or wudu. I want to tell you, so as a Muslim, purity is a big factor in our religion, to be in a state of purity. Matter of fact, half our faith is based on cleanliness. So when we stand to pray, if we have done any of the following, for example, we bled out, like we got a cut and we bled, or we went to sleep, or we passed gas, or we went to the bathroom, This is known as a minor state of impurity. So we have to wash up before we pray to get into complete purity. And for that, we do a cycle of actions. Amongst them is rinsing the mouth. Before that, you wash your hands, cleaning out the nose by inserting water into the nostrils and cleaning that out, washing the entire circumference of our face, washing our arms beyond our elbows, both of them, wiping a wet hand over our head and around our ears and the back of our neck, which is our nape, and then washing our both feet. By doing that, I just kind of rushed through that, but by doing that procedure in a systematic format with time is called wudu or ablution. And when we do that, not only are we cleansing our body, but any of the things that I may have done with my hand, for example, touch something wrong or pointed someone in a wrong fashion, God will forgive my mishaps with the hand. Anything I looked at wrong, anything I uttered wrong, anything I walked to which wasn't according to what the religion teaches, God forgives those things. Why? Because not only are we going to cleanse ourselves physically and externally, but we want to cleanse the internal, because prayer in Islam isn't for forgiveness. Ramadan and fasting isn't for forgiveness. Charity isn't for forgiveness. Pilgrimage isn't for forgiveness. These are all venues and opportunity to gain something from God. So in order to gain and receive, your vessel has to be ready and prepared and facing the right direction. I think we talked about the direction a few podcasts ago.
Yes.
But, you know, the bowl has to be clean so God could pour the oatmeal or, you know, the cornflakes, whatever's coming down. See, Carl, it's time to break fast. I'm talking about cornflakes. So you can tell how hungry I am. It's like, you know, that will do, God. Give me cornflakes without the sugar. You know, even if it's almond milk, I'll go with it.
No, not almond milk.
So, you know, Carl, thank you for touching on that. And the point that we want to touch today is faith is a balance between hope and fear. In Islam, faith is hope and fear. If you have too much hope, it's like picture yourself on a tightrope across Niagara Falls.
Okay.
There's no ground except for water and rocks. And, you know, I think there's only a nun that survived falling the falls. There's
no
a video I watched when you go Niagara Falls about a nun that went over the falls in a barrel, and she survived, and her dog, I believe. But most people who tried stunts there didn't. So you're in a tightrope, you're walking across Niagara Falls, and you have your balancing beam or stick on your hand. If you balance too much to the left, Carl, what's going to happen?
You fall left.
And if you balance too much to the right, what's going to happen?
You fall right.
You fall in. So the importance is to maintain the balance. So in Islam, in the month of Ramadan, many people come around, which they traditionally wouldn't during the course of the year. And the first thing they start doing, and I'm not going to say across the board, but conventionally what people start doing is lamenting themselves. Oh, I did so much wrong. You know, God ain't going to forgive me. This month ain't going to be a blessing for me. What did I do wrong? You can't torture yourself on these things. You have to know that the God upstairs, the God that's with us, the God in Islam, in the Quran, that says, Allah who says, he's closer to us in our jugular veins. That's how close he is to us. And to all of us, all human beings, he's ready to forgive. But if we beat ourselves up at the present time for what happened in the past time, we can't cap on the future. So it's imperative that we acknowledge, yes, there should be remorse. Yes, there should be a sense of fear. Yes, there should be a sense of gratitude that God allowed you to see the act that, if he didn't allow you to see, could have consumed you and weighed you down. And the weighing down, I gave you an example here in Florida. We have love bug season right now. And when you're driving in rural parts of Florida, you have these bugs smacking onto your car. And ultimately, when you get out, you have a whole colony of bugs on your front bumper, your windshield screen, and your side mirrors. And if you don't wash it down, the acid from those bugs eat away on your paint. I had to actually paint my front bumper. It cost me $500 because it was eaten away by bugs. I was kind of lazy. I was traveling a lot, so okay, I'll wash it later. And by the time I get around to car wash, it was eating away on the paint, and it ate into the paint.
Ew.
All the way to the bumper. And the technician, the body shop guy, told me if you waited longer, it could have eaten into the bumper itself. So this is what sins do. They eat away on us. And if we don't acknowledge them and wipe them down, they will eat us up. So in essence of balancing hope and fear at a time of Ramadan during the days of forgiveness, understand that God will forgive, but that's not what this is about. God wants you to discard those acts which weigh you down and don't give up on his mercy. And Carl, I know I'm speaking too much here, but I'll give you a story and I'll stop with this.
No, it's raw Islam with Imam Azhar. No, you're good, please.
No, so thank you, Carl. I'll give you a story, and it keeps resonating in my life, and I keep coming around to it. In 1999, I went for my first pilgrimage to Mecca. I went from England while I was studying in the course of my studies. And I went with my uncle, who was a tour operator in England, down the road from the school that I studied. And I was honored and blessed to be a part of his Hajj group and to experience how to serve the pilgrims. And that became my passion from that day. And alhamdulillah, every year we serve the guests of Allah in pilgrimage. It's just a blessing. But amongst the many guests that were with us in pilgrims was my own doctor, the doctor who was my general physician in England. And I could still remember in the third day of Hajj. Carl, we have to remember, Hajj is 5 days. The second day is the most important, the day of Arafat, the day where we stand in the plains of Arafat. And anyone who gets in there and even worships for a minute or a second or just sits there, God has wiped their entire life clean. They're starting new, like a newborn baby. It's like, it's done. You can't doubt it. Even the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said in a tradition, you can't doubt it. It's done. You may not internally accept it. You haven't really embraced it. You haven't come around to grasp it, but it's done. You're done. You're forgiven. On the third day, when my doctor and I were walking to pelt the shaitan, and we'll be talking about it to our listeners very soon, because inshallah, we want to take the experience of raw Islam to Mecca and to Medina during the inshallah. Pilgrimage and hopefully record our sessions from those cities and give you a take of what's going on. But my physician said something to me. And he said to me, Carl, I'm going to go to the hellfire. And I was like, why? Why are you saying that? You're in pilgrimage. You just came out of Arafat. Why are you saying that? It just caught me off guard. He goes, no, I've done so much wrong in my life, so I'll have to go hell first and burn for a while. But then God might put me in heaven. And Carl, that story hasn't left me. It's 1999, and this year is like 2017, 18 years now. That story it's clear in my mind. I couldn't understand why he said that, because the only answer I could give to understanding that is because fear overtook hope. And even being in pilgrimage in holy land at a holy time, performing holy rituals, which cleanse you and purify you and give you a rebirth feeling, he said, I'm going to hell. So I want our listeners to understand that in Islam, the central theme isn't forgiveness. Our religion doesn't revolve around forgiveness. Rather, it's about you fall, you stand up, you wipe your pants, you wipe your knees, and you start walking. Yes, you're going to keep on falling, and ultimately your pants are going to tear, and ultimately your knees are going to scrape, and ultimately they're going to bleed. But you know what? You're going to patch it up. You're going to put some Band-Aids. You're going to put some Neosporin. And you're going to keep walking, because that's part of the cycle of our life. You're going to fall, but you're going to have to get up. And you're not going to look back. You're going to forget that those pants were pants, because you're going to rip those pant legs. And you're going to make them into shorts. You're going to forget that your knees were scraped and scarred, because you're going to put knee pads on that when you fall, you're not going to feel it. But you're going to continue getting up, and you're not going to stop getting up, because that's going to be part of your understanding of the long journey. We're on this journey. We can't stop. We can't fall, and we can't remorse over spilled milk. It's fallen, but let's make sure it doesn't fall again.
Amen. That it's it. We have about 15 minutes on my end till iftar, and my wife is making a mad dash for the kitchen right now. Put those final touches on the soup and things like that. So, but I know it sounds silly, but you know, as always, you're correct. It's that is how it we really can't lose sight of that. And we really do have to stay focused on that, because the minute you lose focus and the minute you lose your footing, you slide and it's gone. And realistically, it forgiveness is not a core central piece of it's not one of the five pillars. But one of the things that, as we've talked about, even tonight we talked about this, I'm the convert to Islam here, and one of the things that drew me to Islam was the multitude of opportunities for that forgiveness. And you touched on it earlier, just a little while ago, about walking from here to the next Jummah. Every step you take is I forget what it was.
Step you take to the mosque is a forgiveness of sins, a gaining of a blessing. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's how it is. And we do have to learn to overcome our fears, but at the same time maintain that balance in our existence.
And you know, Carl, just remembered a story of a youngster who came to me when I was visiting another city, and he tagged along with me for much of the day, and he told me of a sin that he committed, and it was consuming him so bad. He had his life came to a standstill. I don't want to go into the details of it, but he acknowledged this one sin that he committed that was going to take him not only to hell, but his whole life and whatever he did is no longer beneficial to him. And he had no hope to cling on to. And I had to sit down and counsel him for quite a few hours. But Carl, I want to use his story to lead up to this story I'm going to give you now, which we're going to stop halfway through. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says that there was a man in the nations before you that had killed 99 people.
I love this story.
I love this story too. I'm going to be talking about it in Jummah, inshallah, tomorrow.
Inshallah.
He killed 99 people. And something snapped in his head to tell him, I don't think you're doing something right. I think there's something wrong in the equation. So he took a step towards finding out if what he was doing was right or wrong, and if there was forgiveness. Of course, internally he knew he was doing wrong, but he wanted to hear it. So he went to a monk, and he said to the monk, I killed 99 people. Is God going to forgive me? And the monk said, no, God's not going to forgive you. You killed 99 people. You're going to go to hellfire. So he got so mad, he killed him also. Because it was part of his DNA type of thing. It was a habitual practice. So he just killed him out of his anger. But he said, you know what? No. I need to find out. I can't live like this and I can't die in this state. So he went to another person and said, I've killed 100 people. Is there forgiveness for me? And that's where we're going to stop. The goal of these 10 days, my fellow Muslims and fellow listeners, for those who are practicing the faith right now and for those observing, those who are practicing the faith, realize that in these days, if you can realize that those weaknesses through God's mercy that I got to see are so wrong, as you implore your Lord and Allah for forgiveness, you ask Him, can I get out of it? Can I get out of lying? Can I get out of backbiting? Can I get out of slandering? Can I get out of adultery? Can I get out of drinking and intoxicants? Can I get out of it? That's the question you need to end these 10 days with, so that the last 10 days of emancipation from hellfire, which we're going to cover next week, Carl, with this story, and the end of this story, and the climax of this story, is to understand how it will be possible. So right now, you have to strategize of how I can get out of this. And inshallah, when the last 10 days begin, you could run free in the open plains, into the prairies, into the hills, and you could feel that freedom around you, inshallah.
Inshallah, but only if those hills are alive with the sound of music. No, sorry, that was bad. But with that, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I know I'm going to be tuning into the next episode because I want to hear the end of that story. And I work here and I just hit my microphone. Yay for professionalism. So, ladies and gentlemen, my house is all abuzz because, as I said, I got about 10 minutes left for iftar. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up so that we can break fast and so that Imam Azhar can break fast. And so for everybody listening and for those of you that joined us online, and I will tell you, we got one like. I can see it up here. So somebody was watching while we were doing this. I want to say thank you to Imam Azhar for taking time out of his day so close to iftar to tell us that story. But not thank you for leaving us hanging on how that story ends, because I love that story. So, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, from the Raw Islam Podcast, we say Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.